Hi, welcome to the Cosa Nostra. I'm Edward.
I'm Noah.
And today since it's the end of term for us, at
last
least.
Last episode, it's
been a while, so we thought we'd consolidate what we've done. There's a little quiz for us to see how well we actually know the movies we've done. And then we're going to go through a little ranking of, you know, what we think is the best and the worst of what we've covered.
Yeah.
Okay, question number one. Which decade have we covered most in our episodes? 1980 to 89, 90 to 99, 2000 to 2009, 2010 to 2019, or 2020 to 25?
I feel we haven't touched on anything pre-89.
Definitely.
Or anything like post 2015.
It's definitely 2000.
I think say it's two. No, it's 2000 to 2009.
Is that right? Final answer. 2000 to 2009. Yes, five out of 14 of them.
Because the earliest
film
one
we did was
I want to say it's Dead Poets, which is 89.
Yeah.
So
and then what? Otherwise, it's all been basically.
I think
all
it's 2000s. All been 2000s with the exception of Man on the Moon
And a couple of the Disney movies from 2010.
No. Those Disney movies that we've done one, and that was from 2000. Batman Returns was 92.
And we did the Batman as well.
Batman was 2022. Okay, yeah.
So yeah, 5 of 14 episodes are in the 2000s. Yeah. We've got a little bit of a fixation.
I know, and it's weird. I don't even when I think of like my favorite era of films, I always think 90s. But
yeah, 90s are a great time in general. Apart from question two. Which is the shortest film the podcast has covered?
It is probably Treasure Planet, if I'm
being... It might be, yeah.
I think it's even less... No, Treasure Planet is actually like an hour and 40 minutes.
We've done like... Most of the films we do are really long. Unless it's Little Miss Sunshine, maybe. No, that's like two hours.
That's nearly 2 hours.
I think it's Treasure Planet. It's like an hour and a half.
Actually,
it might be The Man on the Moon.
Man on the Moon was an hour and like 40.
Well, we did one and it was quite short. It was like an average kind of hour and a half.
I could swear that Scott Pilgrim was a short movie.
It might be actually. No, that's like an hour and 40 minutes.
Okay, yeah, let's go Treasure Planet because I'm pretty.
We're right, yeah, 95 minutes.
Yeah, most anime
hour
films
and 35.
Are around.
Ooh, we've covered a lot of long movies though. We've covered like The Batman, it's like 2.5 hours.
No, that was three. It was three.
Really?
It's the Batman.
Which is the longest film.
It's the Batman.
Question three.
It's not even close. That movie clocked in at 3 hours. That was a hard one.
Yeah, the Batman. And 177
I think, is
minutes.
That with credit? That is not with credit.
That's really long. I mean, it doesn't feel like it's that
long. Oh, no, it doesn't feel like it. But like, you know, there are parts where like the film is kind of slow and you're like, oh, okay, man.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's a long movie. So that's quite a range.
Yeah. What is that? How many? That's like, just like 50 more.
Yeah, more. Yeah. Question four, what is the most popular film on Letterboxd? Quick plug, we have a Letterboxd.
It's The Batman.
Covered by the podcast.
Wait, oh, there
it
we
is
go.
Batman. Yeah. 3.8 million views and 1.8 million likes. That's quite mental for the Batman there. Really stepped up.
I want to see It's Man on the Moon.
What is the
actually.
Least I, popular it, film covered on think, Letterboxd yeah. by the podcast? What?
It is Man on the Moon. I don't think a lot
no,
of people
I,
talk about
it. It is... No, it won't be Little Miss Sunshine because that's one of those
no,
indie
that,
movies.
That's, those are popular ones.
It might be Scott Pilgrim.
No, Scott Pilgrim. I remember checking once. It had like 2 million.
It might be Treasure Planet.
No, it's not Treasure Planet. It's Man on the Moon. I know for a fact.
Yeah. Okay. We'll go Man on the Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
with only 165,
which isn't even bad.
And 36,000. Yeah.
I see. I whenever I go on there, I check some movies. They have like 172 people.
Like
they don't even get to the thousand. Yeah. So yeah.
That's not bad. Question six. Which are the highest and lowest rated films on Letterboxd? Is this by us or in general? In general.
I want to say people...
Highest is going to be Social Network, I think.
Yes.
It's got like a 4.1 or a 4.2.
Yes.
It's like a 4.2.
Yeah. I want to say the lowest is probably...
Treasure Planet?
No, I feel more people are divisive on like Batman Returns.
Yeah, no, actually Batman Returns I think it's like a 3.6, 3.9.
Yeah, it was 3.7. Even still quite high, so I'm just...
We've done a lot of highly rated movies. We just do some bad ones.
When we get into Schumacher's films, we will...
What's the worst? What do we look at?
Yeah, that's...
Wow, okay, Dead Poets Society was the highest rated one, 4.3.
I love the lowest is 3.6. That's not even...
And then that's also... Is that also the highest for IMDb? With 8.1?
Yeah.
It's the highest for both. So that's quite impressive.
Yeah.
It's actually a different answer.
So. Which are the highest and lowest rated films on IMDb?
I'm going to go for the Social
Network.
One is probably Treasure Planet.
Yeah,
if
I'm not surprised
honest.
That's like a 3 on IMDb.
Because like people kind of like are mean. People are mean.
Okay. Eternal Sunshine.
Oh, I completely forgot about Eternal Sunshine. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. 8.3 for Eternal Sunshine.
People
Batman
do
Returns
not like Batman Returns. People do not like
it. It's hard to get behind it.
No, it's not even a bad rating. It's just like, damn, like either it's, this or we've watched a, we've watched
weird.
A lot of good movies.
Question 8. Which two films have won the most Oscars? Is it tied? Okay. The Batman is one of them because that won like 6 Oscars or something?
No, I don't think it did.
What's it going to be?
Batman Returns won 1.
No, okay,
so
Dead Poets Society won 1.
Did it win Best... No, Driving Miss Daisy won in 1990.
It won Best Supporting Actor, I think, for Robin Williams. And it won...
Could it be The Social Network?
No. It's Oscars. I think it only won the music and the screenplay. That's 2. I mean, maybe? And then what would the other one be?
So that's only 2. All I know is that Batman Returns won 1. Little Miss Sunshine won like 3. I want to say 2.
I think Little Miss Sunshine and Social Network.
Yeah.
Or if not Dead Poets Society.
No.
Yeah, it won Best Supporting Actor and Best Screenplay.
No, Robin Williams didn't win.
Oh, okay, no. Then Social Network and Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah.
That's my final answer. Who framed
Rabbit? You have to take into it won an honorary Oscar for like achievement in animation. It didn't win a competitive one, but it still counts. So
Who Framed Roger Rabbit and The Social Network with 3 Oscars each?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Then you had visual effects.
I feel like The Social Network picked up a lot of the meaningless ones. Like,
I think like best not editing, not meaningless, but like
it won like editing, music, and I think it was visual effects, music. And
no,
like,
I don't think it won visual effects.
Screenplay is quite a big deal, to be fair.
Yeah, I'm not surprised about Roger Rabbit. You had visual effects and like
I kind of forgot we did that.
Yeah, I completely just
Oh, it's gonna be rough remembering all the ones we've done. Question 9: Which film is the highest box office adjusted for inflation?
Okay.
The Poet Society?
No.
I feel like Robin Williams would have pulled in quite
a few people. No, I'm pretty sure it didn't. I don't even think it got to 100.
I think adjusted for inflation is a trick. I think it's going to be like a pretty obvious
I'm thinking it's
like
Who Framed...
Batman,
I'm thinking...
To be fair,
The Batman, I swear it was like 700 and something, which is...
It had like... In the
but
millions.
It hasn't been long enough where adjusted for inflation it's like a billion.
But maybe
dollars.
That's a trick. Maybe it did pull
okay,
in.
It's either that or...
Oh, it could be Home Alone. It could be one of the Home Alone movies.
Damn it, I completely forgot about Home Alone. Yeah, because
like
Home Alone made like 450 in like 90, so...
Yeah, I'll go for Home Alone.
I'm going to go for Home Alone.
Home Alone!
Yeah, that is...
795
million. Just think about it, that's
million.
An ungodly amount of money
For basically
in
a small blonde child.
This is a mid-budget movie. It
that's
cost like
amazing.
20 million.
Wow.
No, you just don't
awe.
See that nowadays.
Question 10. Hard question, apparently. Which 4 actors have appeared in the most in episodes?
Okay, Jim Carrey is in Man on the Moon and Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah, so we had a thing of Jim Carrey.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is in Treasure Planet and 500 Days of Summer.
And he's in one of the other ones, I think. No, that's it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Well,
okay, but it can't be 2. There's got to be one that's like sneaky. He's like in the background.
Yeah.
It might be Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Has Jesse Eisenberg appeared in it?
No, you hate Jesse Eisenberg.
I don't. I really don't hate him. I find his shtick like kind of annoying.
I'll go
after
Jim
a while.
Carrey and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Well, there's 4, so like
4 actors. Whoa. I want to say Robin Williams. I feel like he's been in.
No, he's
one
been.
In,
I swear he's just been in 1.
What? What else? Who else has repeated? Think about this. What have we done?
Michael Keaton, has he been?
Michael Keaton, actually.
No.
Maybe.
No.
Because I know he was in that one Batman movie.
Yeah.
Then maybe he was in something else.
Gee, I actually have no clue.
Maybe Steve Carell. I feel like
like I've seen Steve Carell in 2 things. So.
Me too. I feel like he's been in something else, but I don't know what it is. What could he have been in? Because obviously he's in Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah.
What else could he be in? I don't think so. I don't think we've done any of that yet.
No.
Jeez, this is hard. It's going to be a background actor.
Exactly.
Ugh. Oh, Danny DeVito. I feel like he's turned up in
Danny DeVito is in Man on the Moon and Batman Returns.
Yeah, there we go. That's another one. That's three. Okay, one more.
That's it. That is all.
No, there's got to be one more. It's going to be in... let's think. It's got to be someone. Okay, we'll go with those three final answers. I don't know the fourth one.
Paul Dano.
Jim Carrey, Danny DeVito. Paul Dano, because he's the Riddler as well.
And what
else was he? Because he's the Riddler and he's in Little Miss Sunshine.
See, this is what... this.
I meant to write Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
And Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
This is what I was trying to say. We're like... Paul Dano just appears in so much random stuff that you wouldn't even know.
He could have been in three for all we know. Like, that is quite mental.
So
right,
let's rank.
Let's go for ranking. We might need some help here with remembering what we've done.
Okay.
Because we've done a lot.
How many... What is this? How many episodes have we done? I want to say 14, but...
All right. 14. Pull up our little thingy.
Oh, what? Okay, let's start from the beginning. Dead Poets.
Okay, wait. So... let's use, like, a tool here, because otherwise we're going to be in shambles. Okay, I have... how many movies here? I have... let me... we have one, two, three,
how did I just completely forget about Black?
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We have 15 episodes here. Is that all of them?
Yeah.
Oh, that is all of them. Okay.
Yes, okay, that's great, because I'm very bad with them. Okay, so, let's make a list. Let's figure this out. Okay. What did we rate them all? Is this in order of...
Yeah, there is...
is this in order of what you rated them?
In order of... Okay.
This is just the order we...
So we had a 5 for Dead Poets. Oh, we might change...
I don't know. I've been kind of just like...
We had a 5.
I haven't had like a good day when it comes to Dead Poets. I haven't been feeling it today. Like, I saw a bit of it today. I was like, do I really like this movie that much?
We had 4.5. Then we had a 4 for Hot Fuzz, 3.5 for Home Alone, 4.5 stars for Eternal Sunshine, 4.5 stars for The Batman, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, 4.5 stars, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, 4 stars, Black Klansman, 4 stars. Kind of forgot we did that.
Yeah, I can
feel 3.5, Man on the Moon. That feels kind of cruel.
Yeah.
500 Days of Summer, 4.5.
Yeah.
Treasure Planet, 3.5. Little Miss Sunshine, 4 stars. Seems a bit mental. And Batman Returns, 4 stars. Seems no, like a I am a squeeze.
I am completely just like, I am all about Batman Returns. I will never not like this. You're acting like that kid in that interview, man.
Okay, should we get ranking?
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like we put some of the like extra Home Alones on there as well. You know, like Home Alone.
No, because that's not fair.
Do not count those.
That's not fair. That's really not.
They're so terrible.
Like apart from the second one, it's not fair putting them against like.
Maybe we can put the second one in there.
No. Even at that, that's a bit much. Like, I like it more than I actually think it's a legitimately good movie.
Okay, new list. We're ranking them.
Are you gonna do it on yours?
Yeah, so that we can keep the screen up.
Yeah.
Okay, we have. Okay, so what are we putting at the bottom?
I'm putting
someone's
like,
got to do it.
I think it's probably it's Treasure Planet for me because even though I really like it, I have quite a few.
I'm not gonna put anything up against that. That's just not and it doesn't hold up against the others.
Yeah, next is Man on the Moon.
Really? Personally, Home Alone. As much as I love Home Alone, it is ultimately a Christmas movie, and there's
nothing wrong with it.
Yeah,
It's a Wonderful Life as a Christmas movie, and you never put that at the bottom of like any list. I feel it's like, yeah, it's a Christmas movie, but it's a Christmas. It's this movie is better than it has any right to be. Like just thinking about it, like how many just this movie didn't have to go as hard as it did. Let's just.
I'm putting Home Alone, and then. Then we can go Man on the Moon.
Really?
Personally, I think Man on the Moon has like creativeness to it. Home Alone is just it's a 90s flick.
Yeah, like for you, it's like you don't know like Andy Kaufman's life immensely well.
I guess.
So when you're watching this movie, you're like, yeah. And like, that's how I felt until I read about his actual life, and you're like, oh, okay, this movie completely butchers this guy's career.
Okay, we'll put Home Alone.
Yeah, if you put it, I'm not really gonna be that.
And then
what?
So we put Man on the Moon. So Treasure Planet, Man on the Moon, Home Alone.
Yeah.
Because I feel like after that, it's kind of glazing.
Yeah. Next, I'm sorry, I'm just not that into Scott Pilgrim. I tried. I watched a video about like how Michael Cera has like, he does the same thing in every movie, and it is just.
I'm going Who Framed Roger Rabbit, personally.
I can't. I can't let you do that. I'm sorry. I can't. Just look at the movie and tell me that. Oh yeah, this has more effort put into it than Scott Pilgrim.
It's a kids' movie.
Yeah, no, but
I don't think it holds up against Scott Pilgrim, because Scott Pilgrim has some of the best transitioning I've seen. It's got better visual effects, in my opinion.
No,
it's
no.
Much more interesting.
But you gotta understand, Scott Pilgrim came out 22 years later.
Yeah,
this didn't even, Who Framed Roger Rabbit didn't even use computers. It was just like the will. Like, do you know how hard it was to make a movie like this? And for it to turn out this good, where like, it's nearly 40 years later and this movie still looks incredible. I think it's Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I think it's Scott Pilgrim, then Who Framed Roger Rabbit, because.
That's wild.
And when Michael Cera is doing the same I'm awkward, I'm an awkward kid shtick that you've been doing since you were a teenager.
So bad in Who Framed
Roger Rabbit. It's actually
boring.
It is scary as hell, but it's got a really good mystery in it. You don't know who did it, and then you've got like, it's just like so well done, and the music is incredible in it. Like Alan Silvestri, this is better than this Back to the Future score as well. It is. I've not seen a movie that just works as well as Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I am sorry.
I can't. There's got to be something else.
We can do a compromise. You can put it above.
Oh, Batman Returns might be worse.
That's the one. I'm not budging with that.
That cannot be number one, Noah.
It's not going to be number one.
It's terrible. I'm sorry.
Good God, this movie is just, it has so much personality.
What else is there we've done that we can just use to like skive a bit? No, that's...
Well, no, I've actually seen, like, quite a few Spike Lee films now, and I do think... I don't think it's...
Who Framed Roger Rabbit's not better than Black Clansman. Don't even try me.
No, it is. Like, once you've seen, like... Once you've seen so many of Spike Lee's filmography, like Do the Right Thing, Malcolm X, realize, oh, okay, he's done a lot better than this. It's still a good film, at the moment.
We're going Treasure Planet, Man on the Moon, Home Alone, Black Klansman.
Yeah. Okay. Now you can put Batman Returns.
Yeah. Then that's kind of.
It's still my favorite like Batman film, and nothing is ever going to beat that. It doesn't matter what Batman film I ever.
Then I guess
for me it's Little Miss Sunshine, because like
we haven't put in Scott Pilgrim or.
Oh, Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Okay.
Then it's, for me, Who Framed Roger
Okay,
Rabbit.
Let's do a compromise. You can put Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but you have to take Scott Pilgrim's score down from 4.5 to 4.
Okay, we'll put Scott Pilgrim. It's a 4.5.
Like, okay, you're not taking it down. Okay, fine.
That's wild from you. That is mental. And then what? Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah.
I don't see the hype, personally, but...
It's a shame, because like this is genuinely one of the most fantastic films I've ever seen.
That is a little... And then I say 500 Days of Summer.
I don't know why it's this high, because like I have genuinely just...
I love it.
I'm not falling out of favor with it. It's just...
Then
I don't know. It's just looking at the poster just makes me just want to like throw up.
Then I reckon if we go... Wait, that is wild. Go up. I would say then we're looking at maybe Hot Fuzz.
Nah, The Social Network first.
The Social Network is... arguably the best film we've done.
No. It's a really good movie, don't get me wrong.
I'd say 500 Days of Summer, then Hot Fuzz, then Little Miss Sunshine, and then...
Little Miss Sunshine is getting way too much love right now.
Like, 500 Days of Summer, then Little Miss Sunshine. Yes.
No.
Yes.
Little Miss Sunshine, then 500 Days of Summer.
No.
Okay, let's think about which movie would you sooner go back to go watch?
Little Miss Sunshine.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. I've seen 500 Days of Summer twice. I love it, but it gets predictable after a while. Little Miss Sunshine is a lovely plot that it's not, you know, twisting and turning.
Because that is the Little Miss Sunshine. It is the definition of twisting and turning. You're not about to tell me that you expected the grandpa to die in this movie.
I heard you out with your Who Framed Roger Rabbit rant, so
okay,
no,
there's nothing wrong with it having twists and turns. I'm just saying, like, this, it's not a predictable movie in the slightest. It's like...
Okay, maybe we'll go 500 Days of Summer above Little Miss Sunshine. Because I do love that movie.
The Batman is next.
No, then I'm seeing Hot Fuzz, and then I'm seeing maybe the Batman. Hot Fuzz is great, but it, ultimately it is just a British like fun.
Yeah, but like so what? That it's a really fun movie.
I know, but I feel like it doesn't hold up against the like.
It doesn't for me.
Designed like very well designed movies.
No, it's like I'd rather a movie that just tries something really different, like Hot Fuzz, than like an Academy Award winning movie like Bread in a Lab, like Little Miss Sunshine. Because
that's not Bread in a Lab. That is a heartfelt indie movie.
Yeah, that is crazy. You know, because like the Academy nowadays, at least nowadays, it's
Frame
like,
Roger Rabbit is Oscar bait.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. And it's a movie a hybrid where they put the two together, and then it's a classic.
But when have you known the Oscars to actually care about animation? Do you really think they cared that much? Okay.
The fact that this
movie didn't, Who Framed Roger Rabbit didn't get a Best Picture nomination is kind of funny. It's just like, it's.
That's crazy. I don't think it deserves.
In a year where like it didn't even have like that many, movies. Ugh. I don't know.
Ugh.
And then like Little Miss Sunshine, because nowadays the Oscars was all about okay, let's just give the Best Picture nomination to this indie film that you haven't heard of until the Oscars came.
No,
out. Tell me if you heard what is it called?
It had so many people.
Nemora was it? Did you hear about that movie before Anora. Oscar season?
Yes, I'd heard Anora. About it before Oscar
before
season.
Before Oscar season. Are you kidding me?
Yes, I had.
Because you'd have to pull up the list of like the Academy Awards. Like
I had heard about it.
It is just funny to me. Like, did you hear about Emilia Perez before the Oscar nomination?
Yes, I heard how terrible it was.
No. Conclave. Nobody was talking about these movies.
I heard about Conclave. Are you crazy?
Okay, maybe you, because like you're like this cinephile.
What
like,
side of the internet are you on?
Just like the normal people side. Like the regular folks, okay?
Yeah, you're telling me you didn't hear about The Brutalist.
Sing, Sing, Sing. No, thank you. The Apprentice. No. I heard of I'm Still
you
Here.
You didn't hear about Sing, Sing, Sing? Sing, Sing, not Sing, Sing, Sing.
Sing, Sing, Sing. I don't. The concept. No. Nobody was talking about Emilia Perez until.
Yes, they were. They were clowning it for being terrible.
No. Do you know when Emilia Perez came out?
Like 3 weeks before the Oscars?
No. It came out in August. August.
August?
August.
No, it didn't.
I am 90% sure it came out in August. I remember checking.
It wasn't on Netflix until like 3 weeks before the Oscars.
I am.
And it was a straight to Netflix release. 5.4.
I could be.
November. November 13th.
No. You have to look at like the date. Where, you know,
November 13th, 2024. That's in France.
France and that's Cannes.
That's the Cannes release date. That's a festival. It didn't publicly release until November.
Oh, did this movie lose money? Oh.
Of course it did.
Oh.
Of course it lost money to Emilia Perez.
That lost a lot of money. Okay. Yeah, but that's what I'm just saying. Like, the Academy really loves their indie films. I don't know.
I'm putting Hot Fuzz next, I think, personally.
Okay.
We have 9 movies down already. We're missing Hot Fuzz, Eternal Sunshine, The Batman, Social Network, Dead Poets Society.
Dead Poets Society is next.
No!
No, I'm gonna go on a rant here. The Academy Awards in 1990 were the stupidest thing in the world. You know what they nominated? Like, Dead Poets Society and Driving Miss Daisy over Do the Right Thing. I am genuinely surprised by how, like, oh yes, let's nominate, like the most safe movies that we can. Dear Poet Society and
safe.
Yes, Do the Right Thing. Even Kim Basinger made in the she in when she was doing her Oscar speech, she even said that one that Do the Right Thing was snubbed. Okay, we're gonna get you.
I'm still getting around the fact that you said that Dead Poet Society is a safe movie.
It is. It is safer than the movie that's talking about.
No one talks about teenage depression and suicide.
No
one talks about that.
Oh, no. Okay, which one would you choose if you were an Academy voter? And you can tell how biased they are. The movie that's talking about, like, a teacher bringing up the student in 1950s, in this glorified 1950s America, where, like, there's no racism, there's no any problems, everybody's fine, everybody's just going to their frat houses and stuff. Or do you want to see all a movie that's about the racial tensions in Brooklyn boiling over? And it's just, like, Yeah, of course. That's what they're going to choose. So I feel it is the safe option to choose. I still like it.
Okay,
but...
hold on a minute. You're putting Dead Poets Society below The Batman, Hot Fuzz, Eternal Sunshine, and The Social Network. Really?
Yes, my opinion has really changed on it.
Over Hot Fuzz?
Yes, because Hot Fuzz is just way
too... Hot Fuzz is not better.
Hot Fuzz is way too much fun to, like... I don't know. I'm just... Compared to, like, the... Do you know what movies came out in 1989 is, in my opinion, like, the year... Like, the best year for movies?
Dude, that's like putting... That's like putting a Disney movie over The Godfather.
Well, yeah, I could easily do that, like...
You haven't seen it, so you can't
say it. Yeah, I know, I can't say it, but, like, there's definitely more... But
it's
like,
not a better movie. It's a more
I'm just thinking in terms of what you should go on and go check what came out in 1989, because 1989 is a stacked year for movies.
I would still say it's the best movie that came out that year.
No. You look at 1989 and tell me that
it's 88, no? Okay.
Yeah, but I just wanted to say, see Do the Right Thing.
Okay, but we didn't watch Do the Right Thing.
Oh,
yet.
We will so get... Okay, fine. Let's leave it here, because when we come back, we're doing Do the Right Thing.
Stop dissing Dead Poets Society.
Okay, I've been you on a rant, but I still want to say... I still want to say Dead Poets Society is an incredible, incredible movie.
And it is not over The Batman.
It is not over The Batman. Not any day of the week. And I am surprised The Batman has gone...
No, it's over The Batman, sorry. The Batman is not over it.
Yeah, I know. It should. Yeah, so Batman should
the
be
the next
over.
One is The Batman.
Yeah, it's The Batman. But then it's Dead Poets. No. I just wanted to vent my frustration with the Academy and how they have treated Spike Lee. Like, I'm just saying, they have treated this guy really badly across, like, the many years that he's been working in. I don't know.
Right, yeah. What have we got left? Dead Poets Society, Social Network. Hot Fuzz is still here.
Hot Fuzz next, then.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of crazy. And then I'm willing to put Dead Poets Society. No, we still have Eternal Sunshine.
Eternal Sunshine is number one. I think I'm going
that's
with,
not number one.
No, because I have been... It's incredible how, like, Eternal Sunshine, even since the first time I saw it, I still really, really like this movie. And while movies like 500 Days of Summer and Dead Poets Society have kind of slid it off for me.
I think I do like Eternal Sunshine, but it is a very artsy movie. Like, it is a very, like, film school movie. As I feel like The Social Network is... kind of ticks all the boxes for a movie for me.
Yeah, it works really like, well. It funny. Worked better than I thought it would.
Like, it's funny. The acting really is really well good. Written. The story's really good.
This is the even only Jesse Eisenberg film that I can actually watch.
Yeah, even
without,
though it's
like,
Jesse Eisenberg, like, it doesn't feel like his shtick. Like, it feels like another character.
Well, this was before the shtick got annoying.
Yeah,
for
but
me.
Like, you know what I mean? And then, like,
this is before I we started putting him into, like, Batman versus Superman for, like, absolutely
and, like,
no
and, like,
reason.
It looks really good, too. Like, the film is, like, entertaining
yeah, this is,
to
yeah,
watch. I feel like that should be on number one. Like, Eternal Sunshine's great, but
yeah,
it's,
fair enough. Fair
it's kind
enough.
Of carried by two characters and, like, a good plot.
Yeah, which is... There's nothing wrong with that.
It's
like,
nothing wrong, but it's kind of, you know...
Yeah, like, The Social Network, fair enough.
But I feel like...
Is it the only reason I don't think it's that high is because I just genuinely don't think about that movie that much.
Yeah, but I think if you went back and watched it...
Yeah,
like,
I bet if I went back, I would enjoy it.
I watched
it.
That movie on the plane.
It's a movie,
like,
that I can... I would be...
It's a movie
if it was on, I'd watch it.
It's a movie I watched.
Yeah, it's completely
so
watchable.
Our rankings go, and we might have to change some of the ratings after this. Treasure Planet at 3.5 stars in the 14th place. Man on the Moon, 3.5 stars at 13th. Home Alone, 3.5 stars at 12th. Black Klansman at 4 stars at 11th. Batman Returns at 4 stars at 10th. Scott Pilgrim vs. the World at 4.5 stars at 9. Who Framed Roger Rabbit at 4 stars at 8. Little Miss Sunshine, 7 at 4 stars. 500 Days of Summer at 6th place with 4.5 stars. The Batman, 4.5 stars, 5. Hot Fuzz, 4 stars. Dead Poets Society, 5 stars. Eternal Sunshine, 4.5 stars, 2nd place. Social Network, 1st place, 4.5 stars. I think we might have to bump the Social Network.
Yeah, well, I am... It's completely fine with bumping The Social Network up to 5 stars.
I think
stars.
It's one of those... I think we're a little bit rough and we've got a lot softer on the old ratings lately.
Yeah, I don't know why because I haven't actually gone back to this movie, but it's like, yeah.
Yeah, I think... So that's kind of our little roundup.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably room for... Let's just quickly go through bumping them quickly. Are there any movies we want to bump and any movies we want to kind of Are we happy with Eternal Sunshine at 4.5 stars?
Yeah, everything that I think is all
Dead
fine.
Dead Poets Society at 5? I mean, it is.
Yeah, yeah. Again, like, since I first watched Dead Poets Society, I have seen so many other films that came out around the same time, and that's why it's kind of falling
off. But I don't
think
it should take away from
it. It shouldn't take away from it. It's just like...
It takes away from its gravitas.
Gravitas, like, oh, this is the great... I used to think this was like... This used to be my favorite film. It's just like, since then, I've seen a lot more movies.
It's not like The Godfather, where the movies coming out at the time weren't as, like, brilliant as it was.
Well, I think with The Godfather, like, you did have a lot of... That was new Hollywood. You know, you had THX 1134, and then you had like Jaws coming out that same time.
Did you have what, 1972?
Yeah, Sugarland Express, Close Encounters, Mean Streets, Taxi Driver.
But yeah, 1972. But that's all Scorsese. Basically,
No, that was Spielberg and Lucas. Not all of Star it. Wars. I'm saying that, like, around the same time. The reason The Godfather holds up so well is because around that same time.
It's genuinely still good.
You
can't actually take anything away from it, because as much as you try, you can't. It's, like, genuinely, like, amazing. You always watch it and try and be like, yeah, I don't think it's as good as everyone says it is. And then you watch it and you're like...
I am yet to get to it, because if I'm being honest, I am not a big fan. I've only seen 2 3-hour movies in my time, and one of those was Avatar: The Way of Water, which I was just complete. I checked out halfway through that movie.
The Godfather is 3 hours long, and it's worth every minute. I didn't realize The Godfather 2 was 3.5 hours long.
Yeah, no, thank you, bye.
No, it's worth it, but like.
Like, that's nearly 4 hours.
Yeah, that's what I did.
The only 3-hour movie I've sat through the whole way through is Malcolm X, only because it was genuinely so interesting. Your movie better be like the most interesting thing on earth.
It is genuinely one of the most.
Like, I don't.
Especially number two, it's like actually like number one. I can understand if you got a bit bored. Like,
yeah, I'm not. I did, like
it
the
is
most
kind
I know
of setting things up. The but most the second one. There is no excuse to be bored. There is, like, 3 plots intertwined at the same time.
Like the most I know about the first Godfather is just the Family Guy meme of I did not care for the Godfather. And it's just like, you know, it's like, you know I get, like, 3 hours in, like, the guys are sitting on the easy chairs and I just completely check out. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. It could be a very good movie.
Yeah.
I'll get to it at some point. I will.
It's pretty, it's very much you have to watch. So... I think that's us.
Yeah, I know. I got to...
anything else you want to kind of consolidate?
I need to... Yeah.
We need to make a list of movies
to watch.
Yeah,
we'll put like all the movies.
Should we make our list of movies for summer holidays? So if you're listening, you can get ready.
Yeah.
Easter break. We're looking for kind of 3 well-spaced movies. So we discussed doing To Kill a Mockingbird.
Okay, yeah, one of those.
From 1962.
Yes, Do the Right Thing from 1989.
Yeah, we'll do the Right Thing.
I want to do a fun one.
Then I want to do Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah. I want to do Space Jam.
The original or the remake?
I'm not sitting through the sequel again. The first one.
Okay, then let's see. We can do The Godfather.
Yeah.
Because if you haven't seen it yet, we need to go watch it, people.
And
we'll have a look.
Let's do some Nolan
movies since you.
No. We need to finish the Schumacher.
Inception. Memento. A Memento.
Okay, fine. Because that's probably the easiest one to sit through.
Memento, great movie. Schumacher movies.
We're going Batman Forever. You're gonna sit through Batman and Robin, and you're gonna like it.
Batman Forever.
Yes. We will start off easy. Then by the end of the year, we're going to get to Batman and Robin. Or unless you want to do like in like the first 3 weeks, we do Batman Forever. Then you choose one. Then we do Batman and Robin so we can get to the Nolan films. It's the choice between you leave a space between Batman Forever and Batman and Robin to cleanse your soul.
Yeah, please.
Or you want to do those quickly, get those out of
like
the way. Get those out of the way and then you do like...
It feels like a sin to watch the Schumacher movies back to back.
It's probably not good for your health.
It sounds like smoking. Oh no, because that will ruin Batman for me. I think we should do it.
Because there's been a bit of like people reevaluating those movies, and I have never seen Batman and Robin. I've only seen all the ice puns. What killed the Ice Age? Well, no, what killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age. Oh my god.
He's gonna kill me.
The bat credit card.
I don't know who let that guy make himself. I think we should do something like Good Time, maybe an A24 movie.
Yeah.
Good Time is supposed to be quite good.
I was thinking about watching Waves at some point.
We should do Waves as well.
Yeah.
Oh, and on topic, Good Time is directed by Benny and Safid, who did what? That we watched. Uncut Gems, which we
need to
get.
We need to do a Sandler movie.
I think we should do Uncut Gems, and then we can do Grown Ups.
Oh god, no! You know, I've actually got a really good story. On Sunday, I was trying to watch Grown Ups 2. Oh! I would watch 20 minutes, cleanse my watch something else, watch something that is good for a bit, then watch it again. It's like an hour and 30 minutes. It was one of the hardest. I haven't even finished it. I've still got 20 minutes left. It was one of the hardest movies I've ever had to sit through. And I'd rather sit through that one than the first one.
Is that the one where the entire plot is just that all the guys fall in love with a yoga teacher?
Oh, yes, it is. No, because it doesn't have a plot. Sometimes I joke.
Originally, they were going to get Brad Pitt to play the yoga teacher.
That would have been hilarious.
But he turned it down because of scheduling conflicts.
Oh, scheduling conflicts. But it's like, no, sometimes I joke with movies that don't have a plot. This is one of those movies that genuinely does not have a plot. Stuff just happens. Yeah, but I'd rather do that one than the first because I don't like Rob Schneider. I don't like anything he is in. He is not a funny person. So, and he's luckily not in the second one, so.
Rob Schneider's the Oompa Loompa guy, right?
Yeah. No, he's, have you ever seen?
Is he the blonde one or the blackhead one in the movie? In the first one.
He's got black hair.
He's the Elvis and Palumpa guy. Because the guy with the blonde hair is very funny.
He's the guy who's... You know that scene where, like, they're shooting the arrows and it's in his... I just don't. He's not funny. He's never made a single funny movie.
The blonde guy is funny.
Oh, my God. Everybody else is fine. I love David Spade in it. I don't mind Chris Rock. I don't mind Kevin James. I don't mind Adam Sandler. Those are all actors I actually like.
Yeah, we should do Grown Ups.
It's Grown Ups 2.
Two?
I am not sitting through one.
Okay. So our list for summer holidays is To Kill a Mockingbird, Do the Right Thing, Perks of Being a Wallflower, Space Jam, Godfather, Memento, Batman Forever, Good Time, The Wave, Uncut Gems, Grown Ups 2.
So
I feel like we could do with the 90s movie.
Yeah, we've already got two of the most 90s movies of the most 90s. Space Jam is, when you think of the 90s, that Space Jam is the 90s.
Oh,
okay.
We've done The Truman Show yet. Maybe we should do that.
We should get to the... Yeah, it's weird.
Or Good Will Hunting. Or American Pie.
Oh, I've never seen Good Will Hunting or American.
Have
you seen? People always say this, but 1999 in terms of movies are like incredible.
Fight Club.
Fight Club, The Iron Giant.
I really want to watch that. I think I should.
American Beauty.
I think I should get around to that. We'll do Good Will Hunting, then we'll do American Pie, and we'll do Truman Show.
Yeah.
This is no longer for just the summer, the Easter holidays. This is just like everything.
No, because we can see how many of those movies we
can do. Yeah, but it's like a good way to plan out so that we don't end up like watching random movies.
Look at 1990. How do you make...
The Virgin Suicides is supposed to
be... Oh my God, Election is actually quite a good movie. I do like that. Oh, Austin Powers is so funny. Big Daddy is actually a good Adam Sandler movie.
We should add The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah, I hear... The Phantom... I don't even know anything about the Star Wars prequels.
They're terrible. No, they're not.
Everybody
terrible.
Always says that, they're and just, I'm like, how really? Is that? Are you just saying that because that's what everybody else says? Or is it genuinely not a great
terrible.
Movie?
They're just kind of like, if you like copy paste it in a different font.
Really?
Yeah, it's like exactly the same story.
Oh, we got to talk. I just want to say, I don't know what George Lucas was doing when he was just remaking all of his old movies but putting CGI over them. Like the director's cuts and all. 10 Things I Hate About You, The Matrix.
Yeah, we should add 10 Things.
Eyes Wide Shut, The Last Kubrick. Did you know Spielberg finished Eyes Wide Shut? Like, because Kubrick died during production.
Yeah, but apparently they cut a lot of stuff out of it. He finished.
No, because somebody finished it. I can't remember
Jerry Maguire, we need to add. If you haven't seen that.
Oh, No, he died in 1999.
He didn't finish it himself. Someone else finished it.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't know who it was.
Before we finish, I actually got to check. Like, who...
Yeah, we've got to finish.
Who...
So, our list for upcoming stuff, To Kill a Mockingbird, Do the Right Thing, Pirates Being a Wallflower, Space Jam, The Godfather, Memento, Batman Forever, Good Time, The Wave, Uncut Gems, Grown Ups 2, Good Will Hunting, American Pie, The Truman Show, Talented Mr. Ripley, 10 Things I Hate About You, Jerry Maguire, and Ace Ventura.
Wait, hold on. Wait, why is...
Thank you very much.
Oh, wait. I'm going to find... Just give me like one 5 seconds to find out.
I will send you guys this list so that we can not...
Okay.
It's under my account, so you guys will be able to find it.
I don't think I don't... I'm pretty sure. I don't even know what to believe in anymore. Apparently, Dean finished it. Okay. Maybe it was Magno... No.
I think AI.
That's it. Yes. Kubrick started AI, artificial intelligence, and then Spielberg finished it.
He finished it. But he got.
He died.
He got very close to he finished. Eyes Wide Shut. But before, he could like get it out. He died, and then the studio, significantly stripped it.
Yeah, because I think most people consider it like a proper Spielberg film. Like, he might have started maybe the script or something with it. But like, we got to get to Sleepy Hollow at some point. It's not my favorite Burton movie, but it's all right. Blair Witch, we have to do that.
Yeah, sometime. I feel like that's something we have to do at some point.
Being John Malkovich is a weird movie.
I kind of want to do a three-run episode of just doing all of Jordan Peele's movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because Nope is really good. I want to get around to Us.
It's going to be really weird because my exposure to Jordan Peele is just Key and Peele. So it's going to be Key and Peele was so funny.
He's a really good horror director, though.
I know. So it's going to be so weird going from Key and Peele to like Nope and Us.
And especially because Key is still like kind of a cheesy comedian, except his like funniness has died off.
No, it's not. I watched Wonka and I still find him quite funny. I really enjoyed him in Wonka. I watched Toy Story 4 again like a few months, like 2 months ago. It's overhated movie. And Key and Peele are both in that movie. So it's I do like him. Yeah. But
yeah, you know what? We can do the Three Colors series just to please.
Yeah. Please, as long as they're not like 3 hours long. As long as it's not 3 hours long.
How long are they? Oh boy, thank God.
Okay, stuff has to happen in them though, like.
Yeah, it can't just be like a French girl like sitting on the train crying about how like sad.
Exactly.
As much as I love like sad French monologues because they sound really cool and the language is always great, like, you can't really just have like sad rain and like blue lighting and be like, this is the blue one.
I know.
And then the red one is like, they're in love. And then the white one is just like blinding.
I mean, I don't want to act like I'm above pretentious movies because I'm really not. Like, it's like I if I ever made a film, like, it would always be a bit pretentious. So it's not like I'm really above that, but like, I like a fun movie nowadays, you know.
Yeah. I think we should do some more 90s movies though. Anyway,
definitely.
Thank you for listening. I've been Edward.
I've been Noah.
And we will catch you after Easter.
Yeah.